Imagine what we're going to get. August Faltigy, Galway talks Lumhain John Morley. Coming up on the program today: June bypass closure causes havoc for business in the town. Dog attacks. We look at an awareness campaign to highlight the responsibility of dog owners. We speak to the Disabled Drivers Association as they call for a new text line to report illegal parking. Gráinne rows for Gaza again. A woman with Galway links is rowing for Gaza down under. Minding Autistic Minds Conference. We look at the Garda slot. We also have an opportunity for young people in Galway. There's trending topics, and the No Name Club National Youth Awards are taking place as well. We also have some live music from Sinead Murphy. A very good morning to you. Good morning, you're welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley. If you want to get a comment into us, you can on our text and WhatsApp line. That's 086-3833-553. Phone reception on 091-77-0077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. When I finished up yesterday, I decided to make the trip up to Tuam on the N83, and as I was approaching the town a few miles out, it came to a standstill. The town was gridlocked. I got there around 3 o'clock and I stayed there till around 7 or half past 7. And during that time, the N83 was backed all the way up, and so too was the motorway back past the flyover. And I believe the same was true the opposite side of the town as you approach from the N17 direction as well. Traffic was moving very slowly through the town, and there was a lot of aggrieved business owners as well. Let's hear from some of them now though. First, I spoke to some of the business owners on the N83. We'll hear first from Adele Murphy, the owner of EM Hair.
Well, this morning my journey, which takes me 15 minutes, drop kids to school and come over here, took me 55 minutes. Luckily, I had no one booked in until 9:30. We do open at 9. One of the other girls, she's closer, she was able to make it. But yeah, it has impacted massively. Today alone, the first day, everyone has been late, but luckily we were able to work around it. But yeah, on busier days now, coming close to the weekend, we are getting a little bit nervous because it's a domino effect. Like when you work with appointments, it could really throw us off.
And have many people cancelled today even?
Luckily, no one has cancelled, but we just had a client in there a few minutes ago and they have a drumming class uptown, and that was cancelled because he comes from Galway and he couldn't make it. So yeah, it definitely is having an effect on lots of services.
And what sort of impact has it had on deliveries and that kind of thing, or is it too early in the week to predict that?
Too early in the week to predict that now, but as I said, the main thing with us would be timing. Everything is on the clock, so just coming closer to the weekend, Fridays in here are chaotic, so yeah, it'll really impact that, and everyone is tight for time now, so even that knock-on effect on someone that might have childcare organised or whatever, we'll be slower getting to them, therefore they'll be later getting home. So yeah, fingers crossed it'll ease up.
And you're right there on the roundabout where the motorway and the N83 meet the town of Tuam. There doesn't seem to be much traffic management there. Is that something you'd like to see looked into?
Definitely at a time like this. Like even, I don't know, I haven't been out since I came in this morning out there, but even if the Gardaí were even just giving people a little bit more guidance, I might speed things along a little bit more. Like I'd say, even people trying to get out from here, this estate now is probably very slow.
And I came in on the N83 and that's backed up a few miles out the road. But even looking at the motorway, it's well past the flyover there as far as we can see in the distance. Have you ever seen it this bad?
Never. I've never seen it this bad. I was thinking this morning, I was coming from the Milltown side of Tuam, if there was ambulance service or anything, it was that tight, I don't even know how they would have got through. I came up the Ballygaddy Road and yeah, really, really tight. I don't know how even the emergency services would get through.
And it's meant to be going on here until Friday. There's hopes of the good weather, it might be done before that. Is that what you're hoping for?
Oh my God, I hope it's finished as soon as, it's such an effect, even my routine in the morning, like it gives you a bit of anxiety, you're not knowing what time you're going to get in. There was confirmations this morning over kind of Turlochmore, Lacca side, and luckily, as I said, I wasn't looking after them this morning, but they would have been late if I had.
That's That's Adele Murphy, the owner of EM Hair. In the same business park, I spoke to one of the employees at Park Tyres.
It's been chaotic altogether. The road's just been gridlocked all day long. Everyone was late coming in this morning, the whole lot. You couldn't get near the place. For customers, they're having trouble getting here and everything. It's just chaos. I don't know. I would have been thinking you could do it a better way than this now, but that's... I don't know. I don't understand it myself.
And what side of Tuam are you based, or do you have to go through the town to get to work?
I'm lucky enough, I'm out Curragh inside, so it's not too bad for me, but everyone else is coming through town there, and just chaos altogether.
And has it caused any trouble in terms of deliveries coming in or customers coming in?
Yeah, we're dead quiet now all day because people probably just aren't bothered coming in because they can't get to us. Like,
as we're looking out here, traffic's at a standstill on the motorway and on the N83 on the way in. Is it usually this bad at this time of day, or is this worse than usual?
Oh, way worse. Way worse. Way worse. See all that traffic up the motorway there, you might get a small line of cars waiting to come out the roundabout, but they can see it all the way back up over that bridge there, and it's just mental. It's mental.
It's meant to be like this until Friday. They might get the work done sooner. Will that mean a worrying time for you the next few days in terms of business?
We'll be all right. Like, it's just frustrating more than anything.
Now, after I spoke to those businesses in that business park on the N83, I walked into town because it was a lot quicker, I can tell you. And I went into the centre of the town where the T-junction is beside Carboyle and spoke to Christy Byrne of Byrne's Funeral Directors.
I was here this morning at 8:30 because I was doing a job around there. And it was very bad this morning, very bad. It was queues of traffic. And you see how it is now, it's bad all the time.
This morning, that would be during the school rush. How much worse was it?
It was very bad around 8:30 now.
It seems to be affecting businesses as well, because I know the Carboyle across the road, they're doing their power washing because it's a bit quieter.
It is. I know I'm going into Carboyle now today. They can't with the traffic. Everyone is trying to get out of Tuam if they can,
Yeah. It's, I suppose, sad for the businesses as well. Was there much notice given that the bypass is closing?
No, we didn't know it until yesterday, I think. Yeah. That's when I heard it. And I was in here this morning, I was doing a bit of gardening around the funeral home there, and I was here all day.
And you live out the Curragh Finn side. Was it bad coming in for you this morning on the N83?
No, I come in Clontarf, you see, and I go down to it's easy enough to get in there, but once you come into the town, then it's got very bad. Well, the traffic was very bad this morning. I was ages in the queue of traffic.
And it's going to be like this for the rest of the week, it seems.
Almost the rest of the week, yeah. Now, it's all right, but if I have a funeral, then you see that'll make it very awkward for us, to get a funeral out with that traffic. But usually we have the funerals in the evening, with 6:30 to 7:30. So it might be quieter then.
Now, I walk back to the business park in the N83 and passing through on his way home from work in the evening was Councillor Donagh Killalay, and he spoke to me on the pedestrian bridge over the flyover on the N17.
We're on site here, John. It's a disaster, to be honest. I think it's poorly thought through, the traffic management coming from both the motorway and the old N17. But on to the engineers in Galway County Council, who have told me they've been trying to talk to TII on maybe coming up with something a little bit different. I suppose what I've asked the council engineers to do was have a look at the traffic lights in Tuam in the morning to see if we can get them turned off. That he's going to look into in the morning and come back to me. But certainly I don't think it's good enough. I don't think it's good enough, the traffic management in it. I think the TII should have had more traffic management people on the roundabouts, on the approaches and the exiting from the town to ensure that the traffic runs a bit smoother. But it is absolutely gridlock here this evening, John. And I've looked at people in their cars as I was stuck with myself, and there is, to say they're frustrated is probably putting it mildly.
Well, it's an understatement, but you mentioned the traffic management. It's down to one lane coming in the motorway, and they have cones around the roundabout. There's no one manning this. There's no one actually doing traffic management or traffic flow system.
No, and the guards were here this morning, in fairness. The guards were here from about 7 a.m, but I don't see anyone here now this late in the evening. And it's not good enough. We are going to have a quick catch up with the senior exec engineer in the morning to see, is there some way of talking to TII to see if they can get someone on board here, like a traffic management crew on here. But not just here, I think it's the roundabout, the other side. It's also the two traffic lights, and the one on Ballygeddy Road, in particular, that junction. We're hoping to get them lights turned off tomorrow, just as a trial period to make sure, because obviously we're conscious of the schools and stuff. But certainly not good enough. I think, look, I've got a phone, couple of text messages from the business people. They're not at all happy. And it's a little bit of a disaster. Now, it was flagged for the last couple of weeks. It's not a surprise, but I think what it does show, if anything, the importance of our bypass and the reason it was put there. And I think if what we're looking at today is the sheer volume of trucks, in particular heavy goods, vans, people coming home from work, it shows the importance of the bypass here and what it means to the people of Tuam. You know, that there's a free-flowing traffic in the town, but it's not good here now as we stand here this evening, definitely.
It's near 7 o'clock. I've been here since 3 o'clock. And the town going inbound from the motorway direction has been gridlocked at a standstill, miles out the N83 as well. And a lot of business people I've been speaking to said it's wiped business for the week now.
Well, hopefully that won't be the case. And
it has been as of today.
I'm not doubting what the business people say, because they feel it, and they know what when the till roll is running in the till itself. But what I will say is, look at, for people listening there, don't let it deter you from coming in if at all possible. Maybe leave it a bit later to come into town. Do your shopping as normal, as best as you can.
But it's 7 o'clock now. How late do you leave it? The shops are closed in the centre of town.
I'm talking about, John, I'll be talking about in during the day, not leaving it. But what I will implore people is bear with us. We are talking to TII tomorrow again in relation to the contractors on site. My understanding is that they got an enormous amount of work done today, and I think they're looking at being out of here by Wednesday evening, weather going well and machinery going well and no breakdowns. But that's what the early indications are. We may be out of this by Wednesday, so we're looking at tomorrow and Wednesday as well. But I have to update you on that. I'm just waiting for further confirmation. It's on a case by an hour by hour basis to see where the progress of work is coming from.
You mentioned that this was flagged well in advance. A lot of business people, rightly or wrongly, they only saw it when the big signs were put up last Wednesday.
Yeah, last Wednesday the signs were put up here, but it's been on your own radio show last week. It was on over the weekend. I heard it on the news bulletin myself, I think, on Saturday. Mm. It's been on a lot of Facebook pages. You know, so it has been flagged. Whether that was good enough or not, I don't know. Or maybe was there, maybe should have there been a flyer drop in town? You know, this could have been done, but it is what it is now. And we just have to kind of move on and get on with it.
Are there serious safety concerns? Because if traffic is gridlocked in both directions in the town at certain peak periods, how do ambulance and other emergency personnel get through the town?
Well, I suppose lights on and see. I don't know is the answer.
It's narrow.
Yeah, it is narrow. But look, hopefully, in the case of an emergency, people will understand that the emergency services need to get through it. They'll pull in as best they can. But it's bumper to bumper here, and it can be difficult.
You mentioned the reason why it needs to be done, the dip in the road. People are confused as to why one lane couldn't have stayed open. Obviously that's not possible for certain reasons. People want it done overnight. Obviously that can't be possible if you have to do both lanes and do the work on it. Are we any closer to the reason why this had to be done? A new road?
Yeah, we're not really. And I've asked the engineers there to get an update from TII as to why it had to be so brutal in the way it was going about. And look, what I'm told was that the road had actually sunk in one part under all four lanes. It's very soft ground here. As you can look here behind us, John, there, it's boggy ground. I don't know why it went down, but it's gone down and it's been repaired. I think what they're saying is that in order for the workers to remain safe, that they had to take down the central reservoir, and that had to be lifted up with cranes and stuff. So that was the reason they didn't allow traffic on it. But it doesn't seem sensible, but there's probably a reason for it. I can't answer for TII. I only can answer for what the Galway County Council executive engineers are saying to me, that they're going to talk to them again in the morning. We get an update, try and get the traffic lights turned off, more importantly, and see if the traffic can move. See if get TII. If there was someone out there directing the traffic, I think it'll probably alleviate a lot of the pain, but there's nothing happening. It's just everyone for themselves, and it doesn't look good.
Finally, another safety concern that was flagged with me. People living in rural areas around the town are raising the issue of rat running and speeding cars on back roads around the town to avoid this congestion. What do you make of that?
Well, it's going to happen, unfortunately, because people will find their own way to work. There was probably a lot of the rat runs that were there up to 2017-18. People probably have to go back to them for the couple of days. I'm not saying they have to. How can I tell someone not to get stuck in a traffic jam for 30 minutes or 40 minutes? But it is going to happen over the couple of days. To implore drivers there that when they go down the side roads and local roads, slow down. you know, keep your distance, watch out. In particular this time of year, there's a lot of cattle passing and farmers are letting out stock and there's manure going out, so just be very, very careful when you're using the back roads. There's a lot of rural activity going on now.
Final question, and I know it's not your place, but the Easter midterm break, the February midterm break, could it have been done a different time?
It could have, but I think weather was probably the... What I'm told is the weather was the factor here, that the road was extremely wet that time. And I suppose the fact that they're working on pretty much wetland is probably the reason for that. I don't know. You look, you always say to yourself, could they have done two lanes and used two lanes? You know, there's... TII are saying no. It'll be very interesting to see, John, if you can get an answer from someone in TII. I've only been told third hand information, and I have to believe the information that the Galway County Council engineers are giving me, that they've been constantly talking to. But I know that they are meeting here in the morning to see if they can address the traffic issues. I think there's always an improvement to be learned from what's this. And look, at some day there's going to be a full overlay of this road, no matter whether it's 3, 5, or 10 years' time. I think we need to learn from today and tomorrow what the havoc that has wreaked upon the businesses and the people, in particular people going to school. It's very hard on parents. You know, they're rushing to drop people to school and then going to work and all those things that come with it, as I've experienced myself this morning. And it's not easy. And look, it's just to implore drivers there, look, take it easy, take your time. We'll try and get over this as fast as possible.
Final one. Local people have said to me they haven't seen it this bad traffic-wise since the big dig in the town.
Well, we had no bypass in the big dig. We had no motorway when the big dig happened. We had no new hospitals when the big dig happened. Ambulance bays. We didn't have...
For people who don't know what that is.
The big dig was when we put down the services. And after we put down the services, we had 140 million of investment in infrastructure in our town, and it's going well. And look, they're right. The big dig was a lot of hassle for businesses that... But just look at what has happened and what the infrastructure has been attracted into the town because of it. Our new hospitals, both of them, you know, x-ray units, all those things that we discussed on your show, all those good things are because of the big dig.
That's Councillor Donna Killalea. I know that engineers are meeting on site right about now, and we will have an update for you hopefully before 10 o'clock. Some of the comments coming in: why didn't Galway County Council /TII put a huge motorway sign up 2 weeks prior to the work starting to let people know? Another listener says he wants the traffic lights turned off. Is he for real? Sure, you'll never get off the Ballygeddy Road into the flow of traffic if the lights are turned off. The lights are the only hope to allow the cars enter the flow. It's not that bad, really, only for a few days. It's worse than this every day in Galway City, says this listener. Another person says, at least they have a bypass to fix it, unlike Galway City. More calls coming in. I came through Tuam yesterday twice. I cannot understand why the Gardaí aren't out doing traffic control at the lights, as sometimes the lights would only be green for a few seconds. That is part of the problem. I know they were there yesterday morning, but anyways. And finally, I was going to the far side of Curfin yesterday. The county council has decided to put in place lines down on the road and block all traffic as well. It doesn't make any sense. And this listener says, for your information, traffic starting to build up coming into Tuam. It's at Al Hayes Motors Tuam at the moment. So that's just some of the calls coming in, plenty more coming in. Do get them into us on our number. That's 086-3833-553. Coming up next, we're looking at dog attacks as an awareness campaign to highlight the responsibility of dog owners.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Good morning and welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley. There is a campaign to address the issue of attacks on humans and livestock of dogs, because the Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, yesterday launched a major national awareness campaign to remind dog owners of their responsibility. The campaign is entitled "It's Not Your Dog's Fault, It's Yours," and it's aimed at increasing awareness of the harm that out-of-control dogs can do to people and to livestock. The goal is to change behaviour and to remind owners that they must always have their dog under control. To discuss this further, I'm joined on the line by Stephen Canavan, who is the Galway Chair of the IFA, and also by Dawn Dively of Madra, who is on this group. You're both very welcome onto the programme. Stephen, I'll start with you first. I know that dog attacks, it's a big problem in the farming community. Is this awareness campaign something you welcome in the IFA?
Good morning, John. Look, at, I suppose first and foremost, I'd like to wish you well in your new role there on Galway Bay, and you have big shoes to fill after Keith. But yeah, I suppose... Look, everything is to be welcomed as regards responsible ownership of dogs. Look, we've come across some horrendous cases of livestock being attacked by dogs, primarily sheep, but not exclusively, you know, horses and foals, cattle at night time with dogs and lurchers and stuff like that. And look, at everything that the minister has proposed is welcome, and sure, possibly even more needs to be done, you know.
Yeah, it's a big problem in the farming community, though, dog attacks, particularly on sheep.
Sheep, yeah. It's an awful scene if you come across it. You know, particularly in lamb yaws or yaws with lambs at foot and things like that, and they're just butchered and left. Look at the ones that are dead, it's bad, but the ones that are torn apart and have to put down afterwards and treated, and even with a kind of a you know, a minor attack, even the sheep that are not torn or affected, you know, that then they're never really right after it, you know. And it leads to a lot of problems like lemon and things again, you know. So it's something that the IFA have been campaigning for years, like, you know, to try and get the responsibilities, the dog owners to realise their responsibilities, and look, dogs have to be tied up, dogs have to be kept under control. You can't just let them out for a run around, you know. You might be living out the country, but you can't just come home from work and let the dog out for a run. You don't know what he does. Dogs are pack animals, like, you know, and your dog mightn't be the main culprit, but he'll join in, you know. And people, a lot of people perhaps don't realise that, you know.
And this campaign itself, it's not your dog's fault, it's yours. That's a very strong message they're getting across to dog owners in this awareness campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. The responsibility is absolutely with the dog owners, you know. Most dogs are only doing what is natural to them, you know. A lot of them are hunting dogs, or they're, you know, in the case of sheep dogs, that's the thing that they, you know, they gather up sheep and they do it naturally, like, you know. It's like a bit of fun to them, like, you know. But people have to realise, like their dog has to be under control, and they have to know where their dog is at all times.
Most important. Stay with me there, Stephen. We're also joined on the line by Dawn Dively of Madra. Dawn, you're very welcome onto the programme, and you're part of the stakeholder group which is established by Minister Humphreys in this regard, and there's a broad range of people involved on the stakeholder group to combat this issue.
Yes, indeed, yeah. The group is very broad. It covers charities like ourselves. It covers, obviously, the IFA are represented, the Kennel Club, vet nurses, both all the departments who are involved in the legislation. So the group is very, very well represented to try and look at this issue over the next while and see what we can do to improve things.
And I suppose from your point of view, Dawn, that message of it's not your dog's fault, it's yours, that probably hits home very hard for ye and the work you do with dogs.
Oh, absolutely. And we, obviously, we completely agree. The campaign is very hard-hitting, but it's absolutely right, because, you know, having a dog is a privilege, and but with that privilege comes a lot of responsibility. So owners and guardians of dogs really have to make sure that they're up for that responsibility, and as Stephen says, they know where their dog is at all times, and they have their dog under control, because dogs that are out of sight can do damage, as of the like that we've seen, which horrifies all of us. Obviously, there's other things that can happen when dogs are out of control, or they're let to run loose. You know, they can cause accidents, they can harm themselves, they can harm humans if they cause an accident. And something we've talked about a lot before, doing the phase talking about it, is that dogs that aren't controlled are free to do what they want, which leads to a lot of consequences for charities like us, because, of course, we're dealing with hundreds of unwanted puppies that come from unwanted litters. So, you know, the effects of dogs not being under control are really wide-ranging, and it's really important that owners take on that responsibility and do the right thing.
Now, I know this campaign follows closely from a series of related issues, like the increase in on-the-spot fines to up to €300 and also an additional €2 million to support dog pounds. Do those initiatives go far enough, Dawn?
Well, they're only the start, to be fair. There's an awful lot of work being done to go further. There is a plan to increase significantly the number of dog wardens across the country, which would help enforcement. The stakeholder group has only convened once. You know, we've just started, but we're looking at a wide range of issues and ways of improving the situation across the country. So legislation is, enforcement of legislation is hugely important. Mm. We do have a lot of legislation around dog control. We're not short of it. It's enforcement and okay. a commitment to enforcing that legislation that's really important.
So I know you are reviewing the existing policy in relation to the dog control and the breeding establishments. So you want to see enforcement. Is there anything you want to see added to that legislation?
So far, not particularly yet. We're reviewing the existing legislation, and then out of that review over the coming months, we are tasked to make recommendations to the minister for what we believe needs to be done. So it could be that we'll be recommending changes to legislation, absolutely, or additions to legislation. Mm-hmm. All those talks have to take place.
Okay. Back to you, Stephen Canavan, the Galway Chair of the IFA. In terms of that legislation, is there anything the IFA would like to see to strengthen it, or do you also want to see it enforced more strictly?
Well, look, the legislation is in general is fairly good, you know, but enforcement. There's only one dog warden for the whole of County Galway. I mean, Galway's huge. It's not, and he's a good fella, and we have dealings with him. He does his very best, but just the area is just too big. Mm. It's not possible for one man to do it. So we certainly need more feet on the ground, you know, in that regard. Look, the Gaers do their best and things like that. They're very good to follow up on these incidents when they happen. But if this campaign is to work, prevention is better than cure. Mm. And really, if the dog owners are responsible, and really, if they look at, people shouldn't have a dog if they haven't the time to spend with a dog and take care of it and give it the attention that is required, you know. But that's generally it, like, you know, and certainly, you know, look at livestock, you know, the cost is one thing, like, but the mental strain on an owner when he comes down and sees his flock of sheep destroyed, fences destroyed, maybe I saw foals, valuable foals put out over wire fences with dogs, you know, and they cut to shreds, like, and they're worthless, and you know, the agony you're looking at it as well. Mm. And if people were to see it, look at, certainly all that damage that then needs to be the liability of the dog owner, and it needs to be enforced. And you know, it'd be a great realization to these people that own dogs if they were humped with a bill for hundreds or thousands of pounds, you know, or euros, you know, because of the actions of the dogs. And it might focus people's attention, like, you know, where the responsibility is there. So enforcement, I suppose, is what I would like to see.
We do have those increase in on-the-spot fines to up to €300. Very difficult to enforce them if we only have one dog warden for the county. How many wardens would we need in a county the size of Galway? To enforce.
Well, I couldn't answer that. Like, I wouldn't even know how many complaints the dog warden's office gets every day or whatever, you know. But certainly, like Galway's huge. You know, and even like, to travel from Clifton to Port Tumna by car alone takes 2 hours, like, you know. So that's two hours gone off your 8 hour day, you know. So you're not going to do that much. So I suppose three at least. Mm. Would be sort of off the top of my head.
Yeah. Back to you, Dawn Dively of Modra. This stakeholder group, how often will you be meeting over the course of the next few months?
We'll be meeting quarterly as a group, and then there'll be subgroups set up, subcommittees to look at the various issues that we're going to be working on. So we'll be looking at, obviously, the legislation, as I've said. We'll be looking at the question of XL bullies. We'll be looking at dog breeding establishments, potentially subsidised neutering schemes and things like that. There's a lot of things on the table that are up for discussion and review, and the group is very, very well represented and very well chaired by John Toomey. And I think that, you know, the work that we're going to do is going to be very important, and we will be able to make real inroads into dog control in Ireland over the coming months. Our term is 2 years. which is time to make some real progress and real headway. But the start of this campaign is the start of it. It's supporting everything that we're doing, and it is meant to be hard-hitting. The posters that you see are not, you know, they are, if you look at the posters, they're very typical family dogs and pet dogs. And these are the dogs that can cause damage. You know, it's not limited to the particular type of dogs that people might think. So it's critical that everybody who owns a dog, regardless of the breed of dog, regardless of where you live, is that you take on board your responsibilities and you do all the things a responsible owner does in terms of veterinary care, looking after your dog, making sure the dog is, you know, well exercised. But as well as that, it's all the legal responsibilities that go. Your dog needs to be microchipped, needs to have a dog license, and it needs to be under your control regardless of where you are. And, you know, it's not appropriate anymore for a dog to be let loose. You know, it might have been the case 30, 40 years ago. It might have been quite normal, but it just isn't the case anymore. It's not appropriate. And, you know, as a dog owner, you really have to do the right thing. You have to do the right thing by your dog and do the right thing by your community and keep your dog under control and keep your dog trained. You know, one of the most important things to teach your dog when you get it is to teach it recall, because you know off-lead running and exercise is very, very important for the well-being of the dog, but you need to make sure you're doing it in the appropriate areas, but you need to make sure your dog will come back to you when it's called. And you know, basic training is something that every dog owner has to take on board and has to do, as well as all the legal requirements and all the requirements in terms of looking after the dog and its health and well-being.
All right, Dawn Dively of Madra, who's on that stakeholder group, and Stephen Canavan, the Galway chair of the IFA. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. To your text lines now, a lot of these dogs have no microchips. We have all the laws and zero enforcement. Wardens should be out checking microchips of dogs with people in public places, e.g. trespassers coursing on land. Give the ISPCA full charge of this, says this listener. To another text now, the dog owner is totally at fault. They need to be educated on looking after a dog. How many dog wardens are employed in Galway? There is a problem in Uachtaráid for years where dogs come out on roads where people walk. And it's a scary situation, and some people have stopped using those by roads. Another listener says, the fact is that 90% of people who own dogs shouldn't have dogs, for they don't know how to look after them. A dog is hard work. It needs to be fed, walked, stimulated, etc., etc. There should be a means test done on anyone who wants to own a dog. It's a huge financial commitment. And another listener says, can you ask people to define a dog under control? Does that mean being on a lead? Other calls coming in on the subject of dog attacks. I live on the northeast Galway area. My dog was viciously attacked a few months ago whilst out walking. The dog was a restricted breed with no lead or muzzle on him, and this was in a public area. The owners were unable to control the dog, and my dog, who used to be a very social dog, has now been left traumatised and is afraid of other dogs. I am also traumatised. Dogs cannot be left roaming around public areas. I am sick and tired of seeing it. People are afraid to walk in local areas because of this. And if you want to get your texts and WhatsApps in or even phone in, do so. Our text and WhatsApp line is 086-3833-553. You can phone reception on 091-770-077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Next up, we're looking at this call for a new text line by disabled drivers, and it's to report illegal parking.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monave Road.
Morning, welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley. We're looking at the whole issue of illegal parking, and there's a call by disabled drivers for a text line to be established to report illegal parking. A campaign group is calling for the new National Disabled Drivers Text Alert Scheme after an 88% of disabled motorists reported fear of violence when approaching parking flouters. To discuss this further, I'm joined on the line by Richard Ryder, Marketing Manager with the Disabled Drivers Association, and also by Peter Gohery from Knockray, who's on the DDAI board. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. And Richard, I'll start with you. Good morning. Talk to us about this text line. I know it's something we've discussed in the programme before, but there's a call now to really get this up and running.
Good morning, John, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, as I say, I have been on with you before. This issue keeps coming up. So DDAI periodically carry out surveys to our members and to the general public. And believe it or not, over 2,700 people now have responded to this recent survey, which is massive for, you know, a survey of this kind. So look, while the results were shocking, we're not surprised. Our members are telling us all the time about these incidents where approaching somebody and the excuses that they're given, and, you know, this thing will only be a minute and it's none of your business, and I'll move if someone comes along, and I thought disabled drivers didn't go out at night, you know, making rude gestures, I pay my taxes, I park where I like. The list goes on, and people just continue to flout the rules, and it's just, it's not good enough, because I suppose people who need and use these disabled parking bays, it's not, for them it's not a necessity, it is a necessity and it's not a luxury, you know. And a scheme like this would make it safe and easy and a significant deterrent from doing it, you know.
Now, I know your report said that there's a fear of physical and verbal abuse, and they were the top reasons for this anonymous approach.
Yeah, 100%. They were. That's what kept coming up every time out of all the respondents. As I say, over 2,700, and about 2,000 of them came back with kind of reasons, you know, why they wouldn't do it. And I, you know, and that were some of them there, as you just said, for fear of physical. I suppose 68% of respondents were female, and the balance then obviously were male. But you know, for a lady to do it, she might not get the physical abuse; she'd probably get the verbal abuse. But a male would be more inclined to, you know, someone to jump out of the car and kind of puff the chest up or whatever if it came to that. So this text alert scheme would kind of make it anonymous. I can explain to you how it works, just to give your listeners an idea of how simple it is, if you want me to do that.
Yeah, sure.
So basically, I'll take Galway City, for example. So, there's 40 spaces, disabled parking bays in Galway City. Each bay would have a number, 1 to 40. Okay, so, and a mobile number at the bottom. So, you know, you have your sign that has the picture of the wheelchair sign, and underneath that then is another plaque, if you like, or a sign with the bay number and the mobile number. What would happen is, take for example, you're walking along and you see somebody driving into one of these spaces, jumping out of the car and running into the bank, okay? You look on the dashboard of the car and you see that there's no visible badge presence, you know, the wheelchair accessible parking permit on the dashboard. So you look up at the sign, you see it's called whatever, Bay 6. You text Bay 6 to the mobile number, which then alerts the parking warden, and he or she then comes along and, you know, assesses the situation, and if it is so that it is illegal parking, will issue the person the car with a fine. And that's how it works. So there's no big IT or app behind all this. It's a very simple process. It's a mobile number linked back to the warden. And that's how it works.
Going back to your study, Richard, something worrying that I noted in it was that serial abuse was also mentioned, where one respondent said they lived in sheltered accommodation, yet someone kept taking a disabled parking spot which they could have used.
Yeah, it's a big problem. I get contacted all the time. I know the office gets contacted as well about that situation, and people just shrug their shoulders, and they just, as I say, I gave the reasons what people, you know, they just say, look, whatever, I'll park where I like, you know, go away. And it's shocking for people, it really is, and people get very distraught about it and very upset, and there's nothing really, sometimes there's nothing they can do except, you know, maybe go to your local guard and complain to them about it, to be honest with you. It's not something, say, for example, DDI can get involved with, you know, but if somebody is abusing the actual card itself, the permit, then we can take action, but not, you know, that's a civil matter, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, it is an offence to misuse a disabled parking space, punishable by parking fine of €150, which increases to €225 if not paid within 28 days. Is the problem, though, enforcement of these fines?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of a problem with that, an issue with that. Say, for example, I won't mention the county council or the authority, but out of all the fines that were issued, only 50% of the fines were paid. And the reason for that is a multitude of reasons, but a couple of the reasons would be whereby the actual parkings, the accessible bays are faded. For example, the, you know, the paint is, or the sign is faded. So a clever barrister will get you off of your fine for that. Or the sign was missing or turned around the wrong way. There's lots of different reasons, you know. And that's why we need to, and I know my colleague there, Peter Gorey, is on the other on the line. And he has gone into towns like Loughrea and Gort and checked all the spaces, if you like, and reported back then and saying, well, this one isn't fit for purpose. This, you know, this one needs to be painted, etc. And he can tell you a bit more about that. But yeah, that is an issue.
Yeah. We'll go to Peter now. Peter, good morning. What's the problem like here in Galway?
In some of the places, it's obscene what goes on. Is like the abuse that people do get. One story is where a friend of mine was looking to pull into a parking spot, and when he went to go parking, it was a taxi in it that didn't have the badge, and he got verbally abused, and a lady came along to help him as well, you know, like, said, look, would you mind letting the person with the blue badge park in there? And she got verbally abused, but both of them were afraid to go to the guards to report it, because they were afraid that if they did, the guy would follow them home and would target their home. That's how afraid they were of it. So I suppose, like, in a lot of the towns, what we're seeing is that they are being abused. Like, we'd like the traffic wardens to be more active on the ground. And then when the traffic warden can't be there in the evening, maybe is that the guards would patrol it for a few hours in the evening as well, in the sense that, you know, like as Richard said there, like what we got back is one day that one lad overheard a young lad explaining to the guards, it's after 6 o'clock in the evening, and the guard turned around to him and says, why, they don't come out after six?
Mm.
You know, like, and straight away then he kind of copped on and knew he made a mistake. So I suppose thing about it is, like, you mentioned about getting the fine, but it's not alone the abuse of just parking, you know, people, but people are using the blue badge belong to their aunt, their uncle, their grandmother, their mother, their father, whoever owns, and it's only the person that owns the disabled blue badge that can park in the disabled bay. Mm. It's not for anyone else, you know, like, if you're an able-bodied person, there is other spaces, you know, they're around the town that you can park on it. You have the luxury to be able to walk. And I guarantee you, if you asked anyone, if they were able to walk, they would gladly trade the walking ability with the blue badge.
Mm. Final question to you, Richard. Is there much of an appetite from local authorities to adopt this type of a tech scheme?
Well, it's actually currently up and running in Lucan, Rathfarnham and Temple Ogan, Dublin, and in Gorey in Wexford. So this isn't a kind of a just a pie-sky idea. It's actually up and running, and it's running very, very well. And it's a large success in these towns. So that should make it easier for local authorities to take it on. And what we'll be doing now as part of our campaign is writing to every local authority and trying to meet with them to get this in place.
Okay, Richard Ryder, the marketing manager with the DDA, and also Peter Gorey from Loughrea and DDAI board member. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. What's your thoughts on that? There's lots of them coming in. I'll get to them after news at 10 o'clock as well. But still to come on the programme today, Grainne McCabe, Grainne Rose for Gaza again, a Fremantle local with connections to Galway City and who also has MS, as will row 35 kilometre to raise some 12,000 Australian dollars for the children of Gaza. As well as that, there's plenty more to come in the next hour, so stay tuned for that and more to come, including this Minding Autistic Minds conference. All that plus lots more coming up on Galway Talks. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.